people will actually show up to that.
Yeah.
I think they're
Town Council, May 6, 2021.
Okay, let's give it a go. Welcome to the May 6, 2021 meeting, Town Council meeting. I'm present on the in the anchor location. We have Judy Drain, Elizabeth Julian, and Conrad Jepson joining us from on Zoom. Gladys is excused for tonight. We do have a quorum. So welcome everybody else, and we'll hope everything goes okay. If you can't hear us or if things are a little off, maybe just raise your hand somehow electronically, let us know, but hopefully this will go okay. We'll begin with the Pledge of Allegiance. You can see the flag on our feed if you'd like, so if you'd please stand and face the flag.
I pledge allegiance
to the flag
of the United States of America
and to the Republic
for which it stands,
one nation
under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for
all. Okay, thank you. Okay, we've got a pretty full agenda tonight. We'll begin with approving the minutes of April 1st. So I think everybody has had a chance to look through the minutes. If anybody has any changes, please weigh in on that. And if not, I'll entertain a motion to approve the April 1st, 2020 minutes.
I make a motion to approve the The minutes, yes.
Okay, do I have a second?
I'll second it.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Judy, aye.
Go on, Elizabeth.
Elizabeth, aye.
Conrad, aye.
And Steve, aye. Motion passes 4-0. Okay, thank you. We have two public hearings tonight. We have two ordinances to consider. The first one is 2021-3, and it's one that we've been discussing for a couple months now. It was passed unanimously by the Planning Commission. It's the ordinance to codify our ordinances. And so I think everybody has had a chance to ask questions. But before we move into the public hearing portion, are there any questions from the council? It's up on the screen now. I think you've seen it. This is the adopting ordinance. And so most of you have seen the final version of the codified ordinances. So any questions before we move into the public hearing portion? Okay, then I'm going to make a motion that we open the public hearing for ordinance 2021-3, codification of ordinances. Do I have a second?
I'll second it.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. We will open up the public hearing for public comment on this ordinance. So if you can raise your hand electronically or wave or somehow communicate to us, we will take any public comments.
No hands raised.
Okay, without seeing any hands raised or hearing from anyone, I will make a motion to close the public hearing and to return to the regular meeting. Do I have a second?
I'll second it.
It's been moved and seconded. All in favor of moving out of the public hearing, aye.
Judy, aye.
Elizabeth, aye.
Aye, Conrad.
Okay, motion passes 4-0. Now I will open it up to the council for any discussion or a motion to adopt, whichever you want to do. So if you have anything you would like to say from the council members, this is your chance. If not, I will entertain a motion to adopt ordinance 2021-3.
I'll make a motion to adopt ordinance 2021-3.
Do I have a second?
I'll second it.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Conrad, aye.
Judy, aye.
Aye.
Okay, and aye for me, so motion passes 4-0. We will adopt ordinance 2021-3 to adopt the codified ordinances. All right, thank you. The next public hearing or the next ordinance is 2021-4. We have Matt Cochran who has joined us to answer any questions up front and then maybe help us answer any questions when we come back out of a public hearing. So does anybody have any questions before we open the public hearing for comments?
Let me pull that one up too.
We'll pull it up just so you remember what you're looking at. This is the ordinance.
I do not.
Okay. Anybody else? This is the amendment to the residential short-term rental ordinance that was passed 2 years ago. Okay, I'm gonna let Matt, do you have anything you'd like to say before we move into the public hearing?
Sorry, Steve, you broke up a little bit there. What was the question?
I was just wondering if you had anything you wanted to say about this ordinance before we move into the public hearing portion.
Sure. So I guess for the public and the town council, I'll just give a real brief explanation. Is the simple answer here is the amendment is just putting a cap on the existing RSTRs based on the data that Michaela collected on the amount of permanent residences. I think we missed it as the planning commission or the original intention didn't go through. But by putting a cap on the RSTRs, you know, according to Lee Nellis and so on, it's important so we don't, like nationally, when there is no cap on it, then the long-term housing and affordable housing options decrease dramatically in town. So that's one of the reasons. And the other is basically the Planning Commission has been working really hard to try and focus all our commercial activities on Highway 12. And so this also sort of promotes that. Those are the basics. If you have any other questions, I can answer them. Thank you.
And I have just a couple, Matt, before we move into taking comments.
Please.
This was passed 2 years ago. How many conditional use permits have been issued in those 2 years for a short-term rental?
There have been two.
And the cap, I believe, is 13 total, right?
Correct.
Our bed and breakfasts included in this category?
Actually, I'm not sure about that, Steve. I think the one in Lower Boulder, the business, is one of those. So it's based on the 15% of primary residences in each section of town. So 5 in Lower Boulder, 4 in Middle Boulder, 4 in Upper Boulder.
So you think the bed and breakfast is being counted towards the hard cap?
I think it is counted, but we need to check on that to be sure.
I don't believe it was. I think that it's considered a different license because it's considered a bed and breakfast and not a, it's a different category of the CUP originally, is what my memory is what it was decided.
That is correct.
Great, thank you.
Okay, just another question. Did the Planning Commission consider the long-term impact on the resort community tax in your discussions?
Can you be more specific? What did we need to consider there?
Yes, we are considered a resort community, and it's based on a percentage of total population related to the number of rooms available. You have to meet a certain criteria to be able to be called a resort community. And if so, you can charge a resort tax. A resort tax makes up about 1/3 of our budget, or approximately $60,000 a year. So was that part of your discussion? Because if you're capping this, you certainly long-term are looking at some problems with losing the ability to impose that tax.
I'm not sure I understand who loses the ability. Do the Airbnb people pay a resort tax or something?
The town would not be able to collect that tax. So we would lose the ability to bring in $60,000 per year if we don't have the number of rooms to match the population, is how it's not a complicated formula, but as you add population, you also have to add rooms available to be a resort community. And if you don't add enough rooms, so 2 years ago, we were on the brink of losing that tax because we didn't have enough rooms for our population. And Gladys's guest ranch came online and gave us a little bit of wiggle room. But I'm concerned if we're not adding rooms long-term, you would lose that $60,000, and by, you know, whenever it's going to be lost, it may be much more than that, but I'm guessing it'll be 1/3 to more than 1/3 of our total budget every year. We would lose that money.
I suspect, you know, with 13 RSTRs now as it stands, with the 5 on the Sugarloaf guest ranch, with Gladys's and so on, that we have some room to alter that if it changes in the future. And I think that can be done.
We'll get you public comments. Now, one
can
last-
I ask a question? Oh, sorry. Just a clarifying question, Matt. You just said the allowed, as the ordinance stands, the RSTRs that are allowed, were you saying that the ones at the Sugarloaf are part of that or are separate?
They're not, they're separate. But they, I would imagine they'd add to the count for the result.
Okay, I just wanted to clarify how you answered it. Thank you.
And then one last thing, I guess, before we take public comments, more of a question about philosophy. 2 years ago when this ordinance was passed, one of the whereas statements says that the council deems it desirable to allow RSTR in recognition of the rights of property owners to use their property to generate income and to create jobs associated with the RSTR activity. Are you not now, as a planning commission, in favor of allowing property rights?
And no. No, we're in favor of property rights, obviously, but there needs to be a cap on that in order that we also preserve the quiet use in residential neighborhoods, and so they don't become de facto commercial zones. So we unanimously thought it appropriate to just put a cap on it, and there's still, 11 openings for that to happen. So I think it gives people some room to benefit off that if they so choose.
Is there a way I could comment?
You can be part of the Planning Commission's. If you want to save it for public comment, you're welcome.
Oh, is this not public comment?
Not yet. We were just asking a few questions. Oh. We move into the public comment period.
Well, I will then comment as a member of the planning department, as we felt the need to kind of reconsider this due to several different things, one of which is the traffic changing pretty radically down Lower Boulder Road. We just saw the need to kind of speak to our neighbors about how they felt opposed to, no, that's not the right word. Which way that they would like the town to go. If it's in our community, there's a strong feeling of we'd like to have more long-term rentals than the resort type or short-term rentals. And it's important for us to be able to control that, even though there's that $60,000. I don't know how that relates, Steve. How many, do you know how close it is to where we would lose our resort taxes? Or is this just something that we could deal with later on after we put the cap on things? But I talked to at least nine people. I did a little survey amongst the Lower Boulder, and inadvertently also, since I was at the post office, also spoke to people up there. And whereas they understand the thinking on our budget and everything, to them it's so much more important for them to be able to control what's going on, and that's what they saw the cap as doing. They just felt more comfortable with it, and that's basically all I have to say.
Yeah, I didn't hear any of that in the public hearing that you had, so I'm just saying, okay, we have somebody else from the, yes, we have one more Planning Commission member here with us that would like to speak, and then we'll open the public hearing.
So that we get a good recording of you.
So, it's Colleen Thompson. As I remember, Steve, Perry, when we had those meetings, we wanted a starting point. And we felt that it was a starting point for us, and if it needed to be changed, that the next Planning Commission could do as they felt. If the growth and those licenses, if they needed to grow. As I remember, that was Perry's thought too, was this was just a beginning. And I that's my recollection.
Okay, thank you. That's all the questions I have. So I will make a motion to open the public hearing for comments. The public hearing on ordinance 2021-4. I think you've all now heard a little bit more of what that's about. Do I have a second to that motion?
I'll second it.
Yeah, it's been moved and seconded. All in favor of moving through the public hearing?
Judy, aye.
Conrad, aye.
Elizabeth, aye.
And Steve, aye. Okay, at this point, we will open it up to the public for comments on the short-term rental amendment, putting a hard cap instead of a floating cap on short-term rentals. So I'll open it up. If you want to raise your hand electronically, join us somehow, wave your hand, we'll take comments.
No.
Okay, we haven't heard from anybody yet. I'll give you about another minute or so if you want to join us. If you have a comment, we'd love to hear it. If not, we'll move on to the discussion. Thank you.
Okay, I'm in the middle of a migraine, so forgive me. The idea of what was the ordinance that we passed allowing people to put an additional housing unit on their properties?
Yeah,
was that for short-term rentals or was that for long-term rentals?
It could be either one. That was the accessory dwelling unit. It could be used as either.
And so far only two people have applied?
Yes.
Huh, I thought there would have been more than that.
Yeah. Any other comments? And we can discuss this, Conrad. Once we've heard all the comments, we can certainly go over some of this. Okay, I don't see any comments coming in. So I'm going to make a motion to close the public hearing and move back into the regular meeting. Do I have a second?
I'll second it.
It's been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Judy, aye.
Elizabeth, aye.
Conrad, aye.
And Steve, aye. Motion passes 4-0. We will move back into the public or into the regular meeting part of this. So, Council, I'd like to hear from each one of you. I've sort of outlined my concerns, which are: the ordinance was passed 2 years ago. We've only had two applications or two CUPs. This doesn't seem to be an immediate problem. There was no discussion of resort tax implications. I'm a little bit worried long-term, not short-term, because we have room to grow, so to speak. But once you have an ordinance, it can go for a long time and be forgotten. And then the option, I guess, that I see happening is the only way we would add more rooms are motels. You couldn't put an RSTR on Highway 12 because they wouldn't be allowed. You could have more guest ranches, I guess. It just limits some options. So that's a consideration I think we have to have. But I'd like to hear from each one of you if any concerns one way or the other, how you see this amendment in your eyes as town council members. So Judy, do you want to start us off if you have any comments?
Sure. I actually approve of this, but I do see where that could be a problem down the road. And I don't know if we need to put something in that ordinance stating that maybe we could look at it every so often to make sure that we're getting that tax in. I don't know how that would work out, but that's my only comment on that, because it definitely could be a problem down the road. So maybe we need to work something into this ordinance to where it's looked at maybe every 3 years or something like that.
Okay, thank you. Elizabeth, do you have any concerns or comments in favor?
I would say that the comment that you brought up about the first point, that it's been open for, I don't even remember now, it's been over a year, but that you have two CUPs that have been approved. And so at this point, it doesn't seem like a concern and something that the Planning Commission could bring back up as they fill and have us adjust it and look at it as needed, as opposed to being concerned at this point.
Okay, thank you. Conrad, any comments, concerns, positives?
I'm with Judy Drain on this one. I think that they went through and did their due diligence and talked to people in town. And yeah, to say, okay, let's put a cap on it. And yet also see, just like she said, we can always adjust it as time goes on. People aren't gonna let us just forget about this. So if it needs adjustment as time goes on, we can always amend it and make room for other opportunities.
Okay, thank you. And so I've kind of heard from the Planning Commission and—
Can I ask a clarifying question based on Judy and Conrad's comments? Is it, as far as making things less restrictive or more restrictive, right? Right now there's a cap, but the cap is saying that it's based on a percentage. As far as the best interest of the town, is it make the most sense, and this is a question for the four of us, does it make sense to be more restrictive at this point and then become less restrictive, or be less restrictive and make, because either one we're going to need to revisit it and adjust it. And so I just kind of want to open up which is in the best interest of the community while taking into consideration that the taxes and the protecting the, you know, the residential aspects of our community and all of that. And so just kind of to talk about where are we in what is in the best interest of the people that live here? Well, being more restrictive, less restrictive, at what point, and having a hard cap or a percentage cap. And I guess that's what I want to know more about, that aspect.
Well, being more restrictive, you always got room to open that valve and be less restrictive. If you're less restrictive now, it's harder to put a strain on it later on. You want to have the floodgates somewhere be protected so that things just don't open wide open, and then everybody's complaining saying, this is going too fast, and now we gotta knock it down. So yeah, that's what I've learned about it.
And yeah, then as far as legally goes, right? Because I know when I was on Planning Commission, we talked a lot about it, and in all of the trainings was, if you create things that are too restrictive and you don't have the evidence to show that there was a reason, right? And so that's where that you're saying, in X amount of months, we've had this open and there were two applications and yet we're being restrictive. Does that open us up to future lawsuits or no? Does anyone know that answer? I just want to make sure we're thinking of all the points before.
I need to address I know there are only two cups that have showed up, but Airbnbs were down nationally because of the pandemic. So I think it's really sort of a false idea to base the two cups on this past year's strangeness.
Good point.
We know with the Zoom boom, people are coming in down the line. It's evident, you know, just around me, I have, two Airbnbs, the five on the guest ranch and two new constructions within 400 feet of my house. So people are coming in.
Well, when you, just like the people were concerned, when we see all this traffic going up and down, and if we know it's going to get worse, we got to put a cap on something, because when you see cars coming up down the road 2-3 o'clock in the morning, you want to know why.
Well, here's a little bit to add to that. We've only have two out of a possible 13, some of those 13 or 11 that are left could end up being on Highway 12, because Highway 12 runs through all three zones. So the protection of neighborhoods is not necessarily, because I think I'm in a neighborhood next to Highway 12. You know, what I see you forcing is, if we restrict these scattered through our community, then our other choice is we've got motels along Highway 12. And I don't think anybody has ever been in favor of adding motels, whatever, on Highway 12. We've talked about the mall, strip mall effect of putting everything on Highway 12. And this, I remember the discussion on this. Elizabeth had a good point. Some ordinances are so restrictive, they're thrown out. The other argument was that people in town like to have or need to have a source of income, and this was a way to have that. Now, the only thing I can see that relates to this is, if we're going to allow home businesses in neighborhoods, are we going to begin capping those too? For every, the way it's now, every new RSTR permit, after the cap is reached, it would take 7 primary residences before you could add another one. So that is a pretty hard cap in itself. When you start talking about how long it takes to build 7 primary residences in an area, that is not going to happen in Boulder in a year that I see in any certain area. So I remember this cap being a very reasonable way to be restrictive, because remember, the other two restrictions are you have to live here. To do that, your primary residence has to be in Boulder, and you can only own one. So it is already, to me, about as restrictive as a town council member. I would be in Elizabeth's corner on, at what point do you become so restrictive that you lose the ability to regulate it because you're too restricted? And I can see that we're approaching that point with putting a hard cap when there's no proof that we need one at this point. So,
and that's where my concern is. And I think Matt brought up a really valid point, that it's a really challenging year to show data. And so we want to make sure that if we make it more restrictive than it currently is, that we have data that supports the need for the restriction, because we don't want to get to our point that we've put in so much time to make this really well-written ordinance, both the Planning Commission and the Town Council, to then have somebody say, well, you don't have enough data to support to become more restrictive, and the whole thing gets thrown out. We want to maintain it. And that's where my concern is right now, that we want to make sure whichever way we move, that we're not becoming less restrictive. And at this point, it has enough restriction that we can then revisit it in a year after a more typical Airbnb year and say, yes, we have the data to show it needs to become more restrictive, and then it's supported legally.
Well, did they not do their due diligence and investigate this when they went through this ordinance?
Well, I think that's the question. Did they consider all of the things that we're asking? I know they got some public input, but sometimes, you know, that's great, but that doesn't really expose all the facts. So,
but didn't they go to the lawyer and the counsel that they have available to them for information on this ordinance?
Well, I think our attorney would tell us we could do what we want, but the original discussion was, at what point do you become so restrictive that it gets struck down by a landowner that would like to have one for income, but there's a hard cap on it? There's no chance, unless someone drops theirs, that they'll ever have one. And I could see a lawsuit. And like I said, this may be down the road, because if we've had 2 in 2 years, there's nothing to say it won't be 13 in 13 years.
I would ask the town council also to consider that Lee Nellis mentioned the, you know, who we hire as the land planner for the town, that, you know, without a cap, the long-term housing opportunities and affordable housing opportunities decrease. It's happened all over the United States with too many Airbnbs. And it seems like long-term and affordable housing is a priority over commercial activity at this point.
Yeah, and I'm not sure the two really mix, because I don't, the two that we have, did they displace long-term rental? I don't know of anybody that's been displaced for a short-term rental reason, and I sort of see them as two separate things. But like I said, there's already a cap on it. It's a 15% growth. That's a pretty minimal amount of anything that would be added. I just don't see the need for it now. Maybe in 5 years, maybe there's a need to look at it again. I just don't see it right now. I don't know why we're moving so fast to put a hard cap, when part of the discussion originally was, let's not be so restrictive that it gets struck down. And I think we're moving into restriction areas that are not where we want to go. That's my view. So any other comments from the council?
Yeah, I feel like, sorry, Judy, go.
My only concern, and it really does have to do with Lower Boulder, because of our roads. And that road down there is so narrow anyway. And my concern is, even with getting five more down there, we're gonna have to do something with the roads if we keep growing down there, because that just, Conrad has a point. There is a lot of traffic back and forth on that road. So that's something we might wanna consider. I don't know how we would address that, but it really is a problem right now. So, and the others, you know, we're Highway 12 for the most part on the others. There's a few that aren't, but lower Boulder Road to me is really the problem.
Yeah, and as population grows, like I said, they would have to add 7 new houses down there to get one more rental. So what about the traffic from the 7 houses? I mean, it is a problem down there. I think we need to be talking more about infrastructure than putting restrictions on that I don't think are going to solve the problem of traffic. 14 houses for 2 more, 21 houses for 3 more. You can see how it's the number of people wanting to move here and live here, not the rentals to me, but that's just my opinion on the growth in the infrastructure. Any other comments from the council before we vote to approve or to not approve this?
I think that the traffic is an issue, especially, you know, it affects Conrad, it affects myself as, you know, on council, but that the impact isn't coming from the RSTRs. And so again, I worry that I don't want to do anything that would make it so that we're creating too much restriction too quickly, that it takes away from the restriction that we want. And so my recommendation that we would revisit it in 6 months or 12 months to see what is the impact of RSTRs when they're being used across all three areas and what that looks like, and have an opportunity to say, does it need to be a hard cap? Or does this flexible cap work? Because, you know, right now there has to be a certain amount of new full-time residents or primary, whatever the correct residents to live here. And so I think it should be revisited in 6 months or 12 months, you know, to see with the boom that Matt was talking about of with the rental industry coming back to use.
I can see your point, but again, either you put it into place now, or if you 6 months, you decide that you want to put it, then people are coming to you to complain saying, why are you now putting a restriction on it? When if you got the restriction already on it, everybody knows what's there. And later on, just like you're saying, you can come in and open up the valve and let it out some more.
But right now there is a restriction, right? There in Lower Boulder, there can be, let me pull up the number.
Five or four,
I can't even remember. So there is a restriction, and so we can keep revisiting. And as soon as the planning commission starts getting applications for the CUP, they can come back to us and say, we now have this and we see that there's a need because they're close to being full or are all completely full. And there's this much new development. So therefore these two things come together and therefore it should be revisited.
I don't have a problem waiting a year to revisit this because of the pandemic. You do have a point there, and things could really change because things are opening up. I'm seeing that in the county. We had that last meeting we had, I'll bet you, 8 conditional use permits for RSTRs in the county. And so things are opening back up. And I would not myself have a problem waiting a year to revisit this till we get a feel.
Okay, so you want to put that, I mean, we can table this amendment for as long as someone suggests that we can, or we can adopt it, we can refuse to adopt it, we can table it. So if someone would like to make a motion, we can see if we agree on where to go with this.
Well, I make a motion we table it then.
For 12 months?
Yep.
Can I interrupt? Peg sent a text to everybody and it says, maybe call out Lower Boulder explicitly for different treatment based on traffic use along with the permanent residents, meaning a traffic study. And I was gonna point out that it's not, Lower Boulder is not just only down Lower Boulder Road. Right. It also includes the south side of Highway 12 all the way to, you know, the edge of town. Anyway.
Okay, so I think we have a motion on the table. We have a motion to table this amendment for 12 months, revisit it. During that time, we'll gather, I think, more data that needs to be gathered and see the trends. But do I have a second on the motion to table this for 12 months?
I'd like to see it for 6 months, not 12.
Well, then you want to amend the motion, because then we have to vote on you amending the motion. So if that's what you want to do, we can vote on your amendment or stay with the original 12 months. I think 12 is a little more reasonable because it gives us a full year of tourist season and slow season, but that's me. So Conrad, are you making a motion to amend it?
Nah, I'll let it go.
Okay, are you seconding it?
I'll second it.
Okay, so it's been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Judy, aye.
Conrad, aye.
Elizabeth, aye.
And Steve, aye. Okay, thank you, everybody. Good conversation. I know there's work to do on this. We're all concerned with growth, but I think we have to maybe look at long-term effects and get a better read on what we're doing before we jump. So,
well, Steve, one thing about being down here is we're a dead-end road. So you come down, you got to go out. So it's double the traffic and the congestion down here. So that was one of my concerns about it. So it's all right.
I hear you, Conrad, and what I'd like to see maybe a split doing I don't know that there's ever been a traffic study in Lower Boulder, an official traffic study. It's really hard to justify making moves if you don't have data to support why you're doing it. So if you start restricting, and Lee Nellis has pointed this out to us, if you remember, if you start wanting to restrict an area, but in the general plan, you have no traffic identification problems in Lower Boulder, it makes it really tough to justify why you would limit something. So I would suggest we talk about having a traffic study done, look at what the capacity is down there, and we may have to revisit this, but we may have to revisit a lot of things about what's going on in Lower Boulder based on that traffic study. But I don't think you can just eyeball it and say it's a problem until you, you know, we know it is, but we need to justify it with numbers. So I hear you on that.
I think that we should look into as a future item of what we need to do to get that traffic study done and then what it impacts, because it's not just the RSTRs, but everything else to protect the residents of Lower Boulder and the residents of each of these areas, because it might not just be this. There's other areas that can be considered more of a dead end. So I do think that that's a really valid point in everything that we've brought up. But, and I agree with you, Steve, that we need to be really diligent and make sure that we do our homework and say the reason that we're being restrictive is because of this data. And so then we can support our own ordinances and our own things to protect our residents.
Okay, so let's revisit that idea maybe in our budget meeting, will be next month. We will have a little bit of money coming in from the American Rescue Plan. This may be a good way. I don't know what a traffic study costs, but I know Lee Nellis has suggested we do one, particularly in Lower Boulder. And maybe it's time we contact whoever does that and get an estimate on cost and move forward so we have some solid numbers. We can justify our decisions when we make those. I'm all for that. So let's continue this discussion about our traffic and how we look at not just short-term rentals, but everything else. Thank you.
Steve?
Yeah.
This is Dan Hawley with Jones and DeMille.
Yes. Hi.
Just wanted to say, I know you brought up that sorry, I'm up on a hill. I apologize. It's so I'm kind of windy up here. But anyways, I think there's some options as far as the traffic study. If that was something we could help you scope out, we'd be happy to kind of work with you, especially with kind of that specific focus you're looking at.
Okay, great. Let me get in touch with you. I'm going to plan on putting it on our agenda next month for something to at least have a discussion. And maybe you and I can talk in the meantime to get a cost, a scope, and maybe we look at that. Thank you, Daniel.
You bet. Happy to do so. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Let's move on to the third quarter budget. I wanted everybody just to have a snapshot of where we were at the end of March. And again, I think the most important numbers to look at is anything that you are responsible for, any department, any category, and even overall budget. It'd be nice to have you look through and see where we're at. You know, as I look through it, our administrative budget, we're a little bit over. It's about most of the way down the first page, 102, about 103%. And that's at the end of three quarters. Some of the others are way down. And we have the ability to move money around. But you need to look at maybe your department, if it's fire, if it's parks, if it's cemetery, whatever, roads, whatever it might be, see where you're at, because next month, we will be putting together a budget for next year. We'll be finishing off this budget. And if we need to move a little money around before then, we can do that. So, you know, I'm okay with where we're at right now because it's been a tough year. I think it's certainly going to get better. Especially this last quarter, I think our revenues are going to be much higher than maybe we predicted. But, you know, we just need to keep an eye on where we're at. And if you have any suggestions of places that you need money or we can move from, you know, we'd certainly talk about that. So has everybody had a chance to look? Do you have any comments on where we're at third quarter?
Can I ask a clarifying question?
Yes.
I want to begin by saying I know that it was a lot of work to switch over to this new system for Judy and for Michaela, but it is really nice and easy to view on our end. And so I hope it's been well worth it for the two of you. But then I also want to just ask, so as far as the administrative inspections, the 4147, what does that include? Just out of curiosity. It's on page one, pretty far down under the expenditures, general government, administrative. It's about 3/4 of the way down the list.
Is that our auditing?
Okay, thank you.
I'm asking, I'm not sure.
Oh. That was my trip to Vegas.
Oh, perfect. I'm so glad we paid for it, Conrad.
That was a cheap trip.
Geez, that was a real cheap trip.
I'm guessing it might be the auditor.
I think it is.
Okay. It was one of the ones that was over the percentage. So I was just curious if it's something that we're going to keep spending or if it's something that we have control over.
Yeah, it's kind of a once a year.
Yeah. And all the other ones that seemed over seemed like they were reasonable, especially for this year. So I just, that was the only one that I was not sure of. Thank you.
And our revenues actually are 76%, which I'm pretty happy with, that we've kind of recovered for three quarters. We're right on track. And I think, like I said, I think this next quarter should maybe even boost that. I think we're not in terrible shape of being drugged through the ringer like we have this past fiscal year. So anyway, if you see anything that comes up, you know, let us know. And, you know, we'll move money around as needed, but I think we're okay right now. So any other comments?
I got a question. Were we going to do the chip sealing next year or the year after? And how do we deal with that?
That's pretty easy to deal with. What you're going to have to do is there's a new county engineer, David Dodds. And what I've asked before in the past is that whenever they're doing Escalante or Salt Gulch or Burr Trail, that we kind of piggyback on those projects and then they can get our roads done cheaper if we do that. And so I don't know what their schedule is moving forward, but you could contact David Dodds, the new engineer, and ask them where we are on the schedule, because I've mentioned to Brian Bremner that we would like to be on the schedule but coordinated with those other projects. And he's assured me, but now that he's gone, that he would do that. So I would just contact David Dodds, county engineer.
Okay.
See where they have a schedule, but to pay for it, we should have plenty of money in our Class C road funds.
Okay. All right. Well, this is new to me. I did talk to Barlin a couple of days ago. And I'll deal with that when it comes to our reports, but budget wise, that's why I was wondering, because I know that's going to be quite an expensive thing, so.
Yeah, and if we piggyback, and we actually, last time they did it, we got a pretty good deal on it. We had put away, or we had planned on spending quite a bit more than we did. I can't guarantee that'll happen again, but if the equipment is already over here doing another county project, it certainly saves us money.
Yeah. I was just going to ask you something. I'll think of it.
Yeah. All right, and then you've got a copy of the preliminary budget for 21-22. All I want you to do on this one is kind of look through it. You know, I'm planning on having the public hearing on the budget next month at our regular meeting if we can. Try to think of what your committees, you know, if you have a chance to meet with your different committees, park committee, cemetery, fire, whatever, try to assess what their needs will be moving forward and see if the number that we've sort of allotted, allocated for you seems reasonable. You know, again, I think we're going to have a better year financially, but I don't want to jump too far ahead on over predicting our revenues. So I see us starting out a little bit conservative. And if we need money down the line, it may be there. But, you know, be as conservative as you can, but cover your needs. And so we will discuss this budget and any amendments to it next month. So this is just for you to look at and consider your departments. Any questions on that? All right, very good. Next thing is to set the date for the 4th of July. The Boulder Community Alliance BCA has planned on July 3rd, which is a Saturday. I think that's appropriate, but we always discuss it if necessary and vote on the day that it's going to be. This seems to fall on a pretty good day on a Saturday before. So I'm recommending that we do the July 3rd, but I'd like to hear any thoughts on that. It's a Saturday. So the 3rd would be a Saturday.
I think Saturday, July 3rd, sounds like a great day to celebrate Independence Day in town.
I agree.
Okay. I'll make the motion that we set the date for the 4th of July celebration to July 3rd.
I'll second it.
Okay, been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Conrad, aye.
Judy, aye.
Elizabeth, aye.
And Steve, aye. Okay, that'll be the date. I know Michela and Judy are probably working on a parade permit, which is kind of a little bit of a pain to go through, but we will see if we can get one, and we'll run the parade as we have in the past. And I'll let BCA know that we're good with their date, and they'll put together sort of the itinerary, the plan, and we'll do whatever part we need to. They've asked for $1,500. I think we can go ahead and add that into our budget next month. I think that's a pretty reasonable ask, and we'll go from there. All right, July 3rd it is.
Steve, do either Judy or Michela need to apply for a permit for the parade?
I'm on that.
Yes.
Okay, just thank you.
Yep. And it's Pam Furches is the one that I've been working with. So, okay, next thing is we have a resolution enacting the fire restrictions. I think most of you have seen a copy, but I'll read it so the public that's here knows. This is Resolution 2021-2, a resolution amending Chapter 130, Section 01 of the fire restrictions. It says, whereas chapter 130, section 01 of the Boulder Town Ordinances list the fire restrictions and beginning and ending dates as June 1st to October 31st. Whereas Boulder Town is in an area of exceptional drought with dangerous fire conditions. Whereas the Utah State Department of Natural Resources has enacted fire restrictions on lands in Garfield County beginning May 1st, 2021. And whereas Boulder Town wishes to ensure the public health and safety of its residents, now therefore it's hereby resolved by the Boulder Town Council, the Boulder Town, that Boulder Town temporarily amends Chapter 130, Section 1E to begin fire restrictions on May 7th, 2021 and end them on October 31st, 2021. So basically we're enacting them almost a month early, but I think there's good reason to do that. So any questions, discussion on the resolution?
So I better go burn it tonight.
You better get it done, yeah. Okay. Do I have a motion to approve?
Can I ask a clarifying question? I gotta find it in the ordinance, but I apologize for not having it right up. In it, somewhere in it, it says a, you know, a dedicated fire pit or a designated one or whatever it is. Is there any clarification that is the size of one? Because I know that was a question last year. We had passed somebody that had a big fire and they said, well, it's in a fire pit, but, you know, and it was a cinder block thing, but it was more than 6 feet in every direction. And so is there a need to have something that's more I guess I just want to ask people what they think of that.
Yeah, and I thought, well, maybe that was the line.
Well, I know it has to be approved by the town council and observed by the fire department. No, there is no size. That would be something, you know, we would have to amend the ordinance itself to do that, which this isn't a resolution to do that.
Yeah. And I guess maybe what, and so I apologize. I just thought we were talking about it. And so maybe my suggestion would be go ahead and pass it now, but also to look into it if we need to look into having a resolution. And I know that that was the thing that last year the fire council talked to me about in particular, that about changing the wording to make it more specific. So there wasn't a kind of a question of what size fire pit can you have?
Okay, I think Michela has pulled one up from previous. It's not the newest one, but it's the same thing. I mean, it's just up in the codified version.
Thanks, Michela.
Gotcha. And you can read, I guess it's two that you're asking about, an improved stone or metal lined fire pit. But yeah, there is in the size, so that's something you could certainly bring an amendment to the town council if you think that's something we need to add.
Yeah, and I guess what I'll do is follow up with both the fire department and the fire council and just ask if they think that there's a need for an amendment in that particular, you know, whereas now therefore number two. Just because I know that was the question that came up last year, and then how was it enforced? And I didn't have any answers. And at the same time that this came up, it was at the very end of October. And so it kind of just got forgotten. So I would say that I can go ahead and make a motion to approve it as of Friday, May 7th. And then I'll follow up separately on that issue.
Okay, do I have a second?
I'll second it.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. All in favor of adopting resolution 2021-2?
Judy, aye.
Conrad, aye.
Elizabeth, aye.
And Steve, aye. Okay, thank you. All right, here we go. Next one. I think all of you saw the letter from Curtis Oberhansley. I'll read the letter of resignation of Curtis. When I signed on as the zoning administrator, it was for your term as mayor. This was written to me. which is now in its final months. As we recently discussed, Michela, as deputy zoning administrator, has been assuming more of those duties. Please accept my resignation. It's been a real pleasure working with you in the town. I will continue to be available to Michela on request should she want my assistance in specific instances. So most of you know, when I became mayor, Donna Jean could not be the zoning administrator due to the way our ordinances were written. So we were sort of left hanging without a zoning administrator. And I asked Curtis to fill in until we could train someone to take over. He never intended it to be long-term. I kind of stretched it out because one of the things I wanted him to finish was the codification. He was familiar with that, and I thought it would be best to keep him on. And that's finished now. In the meantime, he's been working with Michela. I feel very confident and comfortable with Michela assuming the duties. She's been doing a lot of the work recently because Curtis has been phasing out. I want to thank Curtis publicly because, you know, he donated hundreds and hundreds of hours, not paid. He helped the planning commission. He helped Michela, he helped me. He kind of helped all of us find our way a little bit. And I think we have a lot more people that understand it and know our ordinances now than we ever have. And I think that's a good thing. But I really appreciate him staying as long as he did. I look forward to working with Michela as the zoning administrator. So I would like to make a motion to appoint Michela as the zoning administrator, moving from deputy to zoning administrator. Do I have a second on that promotion, I guess it'd be called?
I'll second that.
Okay, moved and seconded. All in favor?
Judy, aye.
Conrad, aye.
Elizabeth, aye.
And Steve, aye. Now, there's only one other thing I want, and this doesn't have to be decided tonight, but we need to think about maybe finding a deputy zoning administrator, because it's a big job. Michela does clerking too. And so I can see that a deputy and someone in training might be valuable, but I think that's a discussion we could have next month of what we want to do and how we want to do that. But I think it's always good to have someone in training, just because. And I think it's worked out really well when we have Michela, as long as we did with Curtis, because I think she has a very good handle on what needs to be done and has been doing a lot of it. So I want to bring that up next month about looking at, do we advertise for a new deputy zoning administrator? So thank you. I think this will, you know, we won't miss a beat. We'll just keep moving on. All right, we're down to department reports. Planning Commission, roads,
I contacted Jay Brooks, and I contacted him once, and then I took a ride around all our roads and up in the subdivision, and gave him a call and kind of let him know what problems that we did have. I find it very interesting. We don't have a really big pothole somewhere. I thought most of this stuff is sloughing off the side of the road. But anyway, I suspect it will be in May. He told me that's when they would be doing them. And I remembered what it was I was going to tell you, Steve. When I called him the first time and we were talking about the roads, he goes, "Oh, hey, you know, I never did bill you. I guess you got a freebie last year." So there we go. We got a freebie. Let's see. I've got the signs ordered for Larry Ripplinger's lane up there and for Gladys's road. I've got those ordered. It'll probably be another, he told me 10 days and that after we proofread everything. So that'll be probably another 8 days before they come in. I noticed Randy dumped a lot of dirt down there. I'm thinking I might want to wait till he gets that all scattered out down there before I put that sign in down there. So,
good idea.
Let's see, what else? Bill and I are working on the other one. So I think we've got enough posts for what we need to do. And if we don't, there are two posts sticking up that I can go get. I'm going to need 5 signs total. So I think we pretty well have that covered. We shouldn't have to order that. And
Duty on signs before you move on. Anselm Springs sign is down again. I put it up a couple times. I don't know if it gets run over, but they had an incident a while back and someone started up his road because I guess they were lost in Lower Boulder. But would you put that on your list of things to do is put that sign back up?
Yeah, I will.
Okay.
Yeah. I think that's it as far as the roads go. The Planning Commission last month, basically, Lee Nellis went over the RV parks and campgrounds. They discussed that, the zoning ordinance. They're going to continue on with that. And of course, they had the public hearing on the RSTR. And then the other thing that we just got through talking about with capping the RSTRs. And then Ray Nelson presented his concept plan for the subdivision and selling that property there. That was pretty well it though. I think they had a kind of a short meeting in retrospect to the other ones, so.
Yeah.
I think that's it.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, I think Ray will be back in the preliminary this next meeting, so very good. Okay, Conrad, enforcement, landfill, grounds, what's going on there?
Nothing, you and I talked and we're just waiting to hear back on anybody coming over there for all that metal to pick up. So other than that, that's all I know.
Did you figure out the cement pad yet, or is that still in process?
That's still in the process. That won't be until midsummer.
Okay. And then we put something off last month on the flower beds. Corey had done some lava rock to show us what it looked like, and I'd ask everybody to look in on that and see what they thought. I like it. I think we ought to go ahead and have him rock those planters in, but I wanted to see if everybody had had a chance to see those and want to go that way.
I went up. I thought he did an excellent job. It seems like a nice way to fix that without having to completely pull them up and replace it. And it looks nice with what the other landscaping.
Okay. Judy or Conrad, how about you guys?
I'm good. I'm good with it.
All right.
Yeah, I'm good with it.
Okay. Conrad, if you see him or if I see him, let's go ahead and tell him to go ahead and continue with that project, and I think it'll look good, so.
Okay.
All right. Anything park committee yet?
Not that I know of.
All right.
I'll call them and talk to them about concerning the budget and everything else and see what else they say.
Yeah, see if they have any needs, any money that we need to kind of put in that account.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Perfect. Elizabeth, EMS, Fire Council, what do you got going?
let's see. EMS, We have, I've had no updates from the fire department. I know that they did have a call. They seemed to work very well together and were able to respond. And they felt that it was a successful after effect. You know, obviously the prevention would have been there, but EMTs, let's see, we have Silas and Troy and then Karen, and I apologize, but I can't off the top of my head think of her last name. She's the one that sends out.
Ivanis?
Yes, thank you very much, Judy and Steve. She, I guess, had an EMT certification prior, so she's working to get that kind of up to date so she can then come on as a EMT for Garfield County. And she has now attended at least one squad meeting and is willing and able to kind of get herself certified. So that could put us up from 2 to 3. I believe the 2 that we paid for to go through, we've never heard back from Taylor. I know that we sent a letter to Andy Rice and he responded to you initially, correct?
Yes.
But he is still not certified, and I don't know if he will become certified or not. But so we're at least moving in the right direction in that, but it's still hard on them. They're out on a call currently. Let's see other things I'm supposed to talk about. Let's see. Library list this past Saturday, the library reopened. And they're open on Saturdays from 10 to 12, and they posted that on Pegboard. And so that is happening and opening up again. The Arts Council has a couple events that they're planning for this summer. One of the things they have going on right now, which I recommend people to go in to the community center, those of you that are there now, but you can go, it's only up for one more week. But you can go Saturday during library hours, which and then also this coming Wednesday will be the last that it's open just for the gallery, and that's 11:30 to 12:30. It is an excellent exhibit of local students. It's all the Escalante High School art students, and they have done an amazing job. It's a really nice thing. It's nice for our communities, Escalante and Boulder being one, our students to be highlighted and recognized. And I believe that their art program has now encouraged the entire district to put in high school art classes across the county because of that program. So it's really quite amazing, and I suggest people to look at it. That kind of leads into the Garfield County School District. School only has 3 more weeks remaining after this week, and it's been a successful year that for the most part all schools in our community have been able to do in-person learning. They have their next school board meeting next Thursday in Tropic at 5 p.m.
Okay, I want to commend you on keeping school going and having it be as successful as it has been, because I know that's been a lot of work for you and your staff, and I think you've done an amazing job over there, and you know that, so thank you for that part too.
And happy birthday.
Thank you, Steve.
Yes, and happy birthday. May the 4th be with you. just a little bit. But...
Thank you very much.
Happy birthday.
Okay, let's see, Gladys Cemetery, she just had a couple things. I sent her some information on a grant that comes from the Utah State History, whatever it is, just, I don't know, do you remember the name of the Division of History or something? Anyway, they have grants that allow you to map your cemetery, I think that's part of it, but and also to digitize your records. And so I think Gladys is going to meet with the cemetery board and try to put together a grant if it fits what we need done, because I'd really like to get the cemetery mapped out, plotted out, as we've talked about for a while. So she's doing that, and then she will. You know, we have Memorial Day coming up, and again, we'll fly the American flags. And and clean up the cemetery for that. So that's all she had for right now. As mayor, vaccines, if anybody didn't get the memo, the second Moderna that follows up the shots that they got here, the health department is not coming back out here, but they've arranged to have enough Moderna vaccine in Escalante on May 13th. All you have to do is call them, tell them that you had a first shot in Boulder, and they will schedule you for a second shot of Moderna. So that shortened your driving distance a little bit. I wish I could have got them out here a little further, but they've got other clinics that they're doing, and that didn't work out. But anyway, May 13th, call the Escalante Clinic and make an appointment to get your second one. Let's see, I signed the Safe Route to School grant paperwork. We should be getting that back, which means we can go ahead and work with Jones and Mill to move forward on that project. So I'll be asking Judy Drain and Elizabeth, kind of the second in command, to be in on that and sort of take care of that once we get going. And I'm guessing Jones and DeMille will be doing most of the work with our console. So if you guys, I will certainly link them up to YouTube, and you can work with them to get the work done that we need. The only caveat, I guess, is that we don't get reimbursed until July 2022, but I think we're fine spending some Class C road money and then getting it reimbursed later. So that's coming down fairly quickly. As soon as I get the paperwork back, I'll let you know. Tree City, they're meeting every Wednesday morning and working in part. We did get recognized again, thanks to Pam Purchase. We were recognized again for 2020 being a Tree City. There's a little bit of work and paperwork that has to go with that. And you know, we qualified again. So we're in our seventh or eighth year now, I think, is a Tree City. I'm not sure, but you know, it's been a great group to get a lot done in the park. And the park's looking really nice right now. State auditor training, certificates, get those in, and conflict of interest forms, get those in to Judy. All right, courts.
Just checks.
Checks.
Yeah. That's all I have.
Okay, if you look at the checks issued for April, if there are any questions, I had one on 2909. Okay.
It's one that I prepared to check the battle now and then ended up paying it
directly. Okay. Other than that, are there any questions on that? And if not, I'll entertain a motion to approve.
I'm just looking at them real quick now, sorry.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah, go ahead and look down through and see if there's anything that stands out, any questions. Most of it's pretty standard, I think, but.
I'll make a motion to approve the April 2021 checks issued.
I'll second it.
It's been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Judy, aye.
Conrad, aye.
Elizabeth?
Sorry, I was on mute. Yes, I said aye. I apologize. Elizabeth, aye.
Okay, passes 4-0. I did have one more thing I wanted to mention. Maybe Judy can fill us in a little bit more. It's the municipal elections. Okay, Judy will tell you what is what.
Okay, we elect this year a mayor and two council people. And I forgot to bring my notice list, but there are notices posted around the bulletin boards here in the community center area. The first week or so of June, you can apply, and I'm planning to be here at the office that week between 11 and 1, I think, not Sunday. And to get the packets of whatever you need to sign up. So.
So get signed up.
Get signed up.
Yeah, it's the mayor's position, and then Gladys's position and Conrad's position are the three that will be that you can apply.
You can all three run again.
Yes. So anyway, yeah. So it's that time again, and you know we always need good people in charge, and so get sign up and get ready to serve.
And I forgot to say, if you can't come here that week during those hours,
we can come to the house anytime. Okay, perfect. All right, it's time for any public comments. So if you want to make a comment, raise your hand electronically or open up your microphone, wave, whatever you can do to get our attention, and we'd love to hear from you. Okay, without hearing from anyone, I will make a motion to adjourn.
I make a motion to adjourn.
Do we have a second?
I'll second it.
You moved and seconded. All in favor?
Judy, aye.
Elizabeth, aye.
Conrad, aye.
And Steve, aye. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. Look forward
Thank
to
you.
Seeing you. Yeah.
Good night.
So what happens if nobody runs for mayor?
Cheryl asked that today. And I said, you would wait and see if there's a value? I don't know. What would Judy, you might know more. What do you do?
What happens if we write you in?
Can I read them?
Hi, Peg. I turned off the recording.
I think you're wrong. Well, we've never had that. Yeah, the law of thirds probably something. I just don't know what that is. I know. It's interesting. Yeah, I hate to disagree with the timing stuff. I feel comfortable with changing things unless.
Ms. Shayla?
Yeah. I don't say.
Yeah, hold on.
Did you get all the names okay?
I think I did. I'm just ending the meeting for everyone, so we're not. Yeah. Okay. Everything's turned. All the recordings are turned off. It's just us now.
Okay. I'm going to talk to
I'm going to talk to Colleen about our planning commission meeting and if we're going to do the same format you just did or try another Zoom only meeting. So, okay. But assuming that we'll do your format, the anchor location thing, would you be willing to be the person sitting there and I still am at home?
I would. I was just going to say, if you wanted, I can come in and do this part.
Yeah.
And put, like I did tonight, put the camera on the screen, and then you can be at home doing the share screens and minutes right. and all of that.
Now, does...
And so I'll make... we'll make sure that we...
Do you still need to run Zoom from the OWL? Or could I run it here?
No, I run the OWL from my phone.
Okay, so there's no OWL.
It will be right here. It'll be just like it is right now. My screen will have the weird split screen OWL business. And uh-huh. yours will look the same.
Okay. So right? I just set up the same.
My computer will be hooked up now.
Okay. So I can go ahead and set up the Zoom meeting myself, just like usual, run the meeting from here on Zoom, and then you would connect to it. Okay, from there?
I'm going to double check, but I think there was one... I think I just had to initially set it up to connect to Zoom, but I don't think it's per meeting. I think it was a one-time setup with Zoom when we installed it the last time.
Okay.
Not see. I'll look it up, but I think it was just a one-time thing. Okay. It should be good.
Okay. Okay, well.
And I'm writing that in my to check Zoom.
Yeah, because
I'm
thinking of all the maps and documents. It's going to be a document intensive meeting with the two public, well, no, just the one public hearing, but the two subdivisions. And
although I will have some share screen capabilities as well.
Yeah.
I mean, I can help you with that if you want.
Well, I will just let you know. I'll talk with Colleen. And I guess sooner or later we have to do it. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, guys.
Bite the bullet.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you could put it off for 1 month. I mean, that gets us into June. Everybody, you know, a lot closer with all the vaccinations and your vaccinations to kick in, you know. I don't know. I don't know if that makes you feel any better.
Well, yeah, no, we'll talk about it. I think the whole thing is doable. It may just be a little clunky initially. What I want to do is make sure I have everything set up so, you know, Lee calling in is the other complication, and I don't want to hang him up on the phone waiting while I'm doing setup stuff. So however we can best accommodate Lee and then the various public hearing, the subdivision displays and all that stuff. So that's all. I'll think about it some more.
You said he's calling in versus dialing in via Zoom?
No, I said that wrong. No, he's Zooming like everybody else. I just don't want him.
Okay, well, and
you know, like he starts at 7 and he pretty much sticks to his hour and then he's gone. And I don't want to muck up things with my technical ineptitude, you know, for 10 or 15 minutes while they're sitting there waiting, you know, that kind of thing. So that's all. I've got concerns.
I would be happy to Yeah, I'm happy to help you and be here and conduct what it, like assist, conduct, co-host, whatever we call it.
Yeah, okay. Okay, well, I'll be back in touch about that. So thank you.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, okay. Nice to meet you guys. Thank you. See you later.
Yeah.
Thanks, hey, guys. Good night.
Good night.
Okay. Let's see this. Okay. Yep.